Well, one of the things I wanted to just highlight is that in this season that we're in, you know, we're closer to the return of Jesus than obviously the day before. But I remember Pastor Greg and I were at a Winter Bible Seminar out in Tulsa, Oklahoma at Rhema Bible Church. And this was about, I would say, about 5 or 6 years ago. And I remember Pastor Hagen, he doesn't operate in that particular way that often, but he began to operate in the prophetic role. And God began to open his eyes, and he said that the return of Christ is so close. He said, eternity is so close, I can see through the veil. He said, it's so thin, I could almost reach out into eternity. So it gives us some idea, and you know, just prophetically, that we are close to the return of Christ. What does that mean? That means that the church ought to be about the business of the kingdom of God. The devil is plotting all the time. He's strategizing to do what? Promote his kingdom, darkness, and to create problems and turmoil and issues. Well, so should we as the body of Christ. Now, as we have our lives to live, but we should be about God's business of expanding and promoting the kingdom of God, reaching people with the good news of the gospel. And so there's darkness and perversion that's going on. But thank God that, what is Isaiah 55 and verses 8 through 11 in the King James? It talks about how God thinks. He said, my thoughts are what? Not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And then he goes on, he said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than what? Your thoughts. And for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And then he goes on and he says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void or empty or not productive. And he said, but it shall accomplish, or you could say produce, that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto or whereto I sent it. So we should be constantly getting the word of God so that it begins to do what? It continually is producing fruit for the purposes of God's kingdom being expanded and growing, reaching people with the good news. In other words, being a witness to people who are lost. And so his word will not return void or empty. And in Romans 12:2, in order to think like God, in order to begin to think like him and to have his thoughts, what does it say? And be not conformed to this world, or, you know, just don't be adjusted to it. That's what the message, don't be so well adjusted to it. So something that you conform to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, the transformation of your mind. What does that? The word of God does that. So that you may prove, this is what we were sharing Sunday, you can prove what is that good, that's something that's beneficial for you, and acceptable, and what? Perfect will of God. Glory to God. So this mind, as Philippians says, this mind, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. So God is telling us through his word that we need our minds transformed and renewed so we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and we're to let this mind be in us that is in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. Or, you know, the Amplified says, what is this attitude or purpose? So our purpose and our thoughts and our ways should be his ways. And so, you know, when people say, well, we can't just attain that, well, I disagree. Yes, you can, because the scripture says that we can have his mind. We can have our thinking transformed. So we're about doing his work, his business. It doesn't mean that we neglect our responsibilities, but what it does mean is that I'm staying connected. So when he says, go over here and speak to this person, that I'm so busy, I don't have time to do that. I can't stop and share the gospel or help somebody who's in need. This is the witness that he wants us to be, to be in the earth. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, he gives us a new commandment. He says, I give unto you that you do what? You love one another, how? As I have loved you, that you also do what? Love one another. And what does he go on? And by this love, he said, and by this, by what? This love that you have one for another, shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. It's going to be the witness to the world. With all of the bickering and all of this stuff that's going on in the earth, there's a lack of love towards one another. It's me, mine, get my stuff, or just going after somebody tooth and nail and just berating people, not loving people, not caring about one another. And so God is saying we're to love one another. And this is going to be a demonstration and a witness to the world. Sometimes, you know what they say, they don't want to hear what you say, they want to see your actions or what you're doing with they don't want to hear something, they want to see something, right? And so 1 John 2:5, you know, we were sharing something on Sunday, and this all ties into overcoming and overcoming impossibilities. But, you know, some people will say, you know, there's no way you can walk perfectly. Well, I disagree, because our thinking and our attitude and our, it says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Well, here in 1 John 2:5-6, it says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God, what? Perfected. That word perfected doesn't mean perfect without making mistakes or missing the mark. It means coming to a place of completion or to an end. It means to come to a place of maturity. So if we obey his word, doing what? Walking in love towards one another, then as we do that, we may not even do it perfectly, but as we attempt to walk in love, as we purpose in our heart, I'm going to love this person, even though they're unlovely, even though they persecute or they come against me, I'm going to love them. This says here that the love of God is what? Perfected or developed or expanded in us. And then it says, hereby know that we are in him. He that saith that he abideth in him or in Christ ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So there it's saying it is possible to walk in a level of perfection. It's possible. Even though we think it's impossible, the word of God says it is possible. And so here, when we look at 1 John 5:4 and we look at 2 Corinthians 5:7, it talks about whosoever is what? Born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, what? Even our faith. So our faith, our obedience to the Word of God, our faith in God's Word, and our obeying God's Word does what? Causes us to walk in perfection or growth or development. And it tells you in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. I like the Amplified, it says we walk by faith, not by sight or appearance. And that word walk is just, it's a word, a Greek word called peripateo. It just means to regulate your life by that, regulate one's life, not your wife, regulate, we don't regulate our wives, but we regulate one's life and we conduct our oneself. We conduct our life like that. That's what walking means. So this means our thoughts, our speech, our activities, everything we do in our everyday area of our life is we are to walk by faith. Glory to God. And it's possible. So we can just see that from the Word of God. And one of the things that we were sharing on Sunday in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, it talks about our faith expanding. Your faith groweth exceedingly. And it says that also the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth. So our faith should be expanding or growing, and so should our love towards one another. But one thing I wanted to bring out in talking about faith and the spirit of faith is that we can see some things, some examples from the scripture where Caleb in Numbers 14 and verse 24, it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him, hath followed me fully." And so you see here that Caleb had another spirit. He had a spirit of faith. Why? He was around somebody like Moses. Moses had a spirit of faith. And so through just association, Joshua and Caleb caught the spirit of faith. And what does it say? He said, because he had another spirit within him. Hallelujah. "And hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land," or in other words, that obstacle. He was going to bring him in and bring him over it and through it. And look what also it says. "Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went," and what does it say? "And his seed shall possess it." So your obedience, your faith can affect what? Generations. It can affect people that, or you could say it affects your seed. This is what he said, his offspring. So sometimes we don't even realize the impact of us fighting through an obstacle, fighting through some things, coming through and tearing down mountains. We don't realize the offspring, the people, could be a ministry, could be your family, your children. You don't realize the impact that you're having when you fight the fight of faith. So don't give up. Don't just throw in the towel because it seems a little hard. We can overcome and we can do it. So just as I was sharing here in James chapter 3, in verse 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." In verse 2, we didn't share this on Sunday, but it says, "For in many things we offend all." And then this goes on. How do we offend? "If any man offend," how? "Not in word," by what you say, "the same is what? A perfect man." Remember Sunday we were sharing all the different scriptures on becoming perfect, being a perfect man. This says here, "If you offend not in word," how you speak, "the same is a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body." And then it goes on, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body," their whole body. "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and does what? Boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So he goes on here and he says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so that so is the tongue among our members that it does what? It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So the tongue, just like the bit steers the direction of the horse and the rudder the steers the direction of the ship, then the tongue steers the direction in our lives. What we say, you know that saying, what you say is what you're going to get. And we're going to look at some other scriptures. But just like hell can inspire the tongue and start something that turns into a raging destructive force, heaven can inspire our tongues and words of life and power can be spoken. So we need to think about that. And when we look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore what? Have I spoken? We also believe, and therefore speak. So faith is key here. Now we know from Galatians 5:6, faith worketh by the love of God. So we know that faith worketh by love, but Hebrews 11:6 says, it's not possible, or without faith, it's impossible to please him. What does that mean? It means it's not possible to please God without faith. You've got to believe him, and you've got to act upon what you believe, and you've got to do what? We believe, and therefore we do what? We speak. We speak what we believe. And so those things, as we looked in Sunday, we looked at Luke 18:27, the things which are impossible with men are what? Possible with God. That's the New Living. It says, what is impossible for people is possible with God. So one scripture I want to look at is Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. And let's look at this in the New Living Translation. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it does what? It determines the course of your life. Well, this is just like what we got done looking at James chapter 3, that your tongue can set on fire and create some problems in your life that are destructive. And so here, this is the same thing. It's saying the same thing. Guard your heart. What you put in your heart, you're going to ultimately, what you think on, what you talk about, is going to get down in your heart. And you're going to start saying some things. And just like the rudder that steers the ship, you're going to start steering your life and affecting the direction of your life by what you say. And so this said here, what did it say? It says, what is impossible for people is possible with God. Those things that look impossible, we can do it. It's having a we can do it attitude with God, and we can overcome. And I like some of these other translations other than the New Living in Proverbs 4, the New Century Version. It says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. In the Complete Jewish Bible, it says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. And you could say good or bad. So what you think upon, what you meditate on, you're going to ultimately begin to speak, and what you speak is going to direct your life. It's going to steer your life into good things or negative things. And the Good News Translation, it says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. And so we need to watch what we're thinking on. We need to have a I can do it attitude. You know, I'll share something that some thoughts another minister shared. He said, faith moves God. Faith moves mountains. See, what does it say? We just got done reading. When we say faith moves God, we just got done reading in Hebrews 11:6. It's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So faith moves God. Faith moves mountains. Faith won't move anything until it moves you. So the first part that your faith will move is what? Your mouth. So faith must, I like this statement, faith must be released in the earth in order for heaven's provisions to be released and transferred into this earth realm. So in order for you to benefit from all of the things that have been bought and paid for in our covenant, you've got to believe it and do what? Begin to exercise and speak that. And if there's something blocking that, what are we supposed to do? Speak to it and command it to change. This was something that our dear sister Gladys Brooks shared. She's a member here, back in 2012. And I was in the service, conducting this service, when she shared this by the Spirit. She said, don't nurse it, don't rehearse it, disperse it, and I'll reverse it. Well, that's a good word. Don't nurse it, don't rehearse it, disperse it, and I'll reverse it. So for me, that was don't nurse it. It means don't make friends with the mountain. Don't nurse it. Don't make friends with the mountain. Don't rehearse it. Stop talking about the mountain. Stop rehearsing it. Stop talking about the mountain. What does it mean? Disperse it. That means speak to it. Speak to the mountain. And then reverse it. The God kind of faith will remove the mountain. So what was that word again? Don't nurse it. Don't nurse your problems. Don't rehearse it. But do what? Disperse it. Speak to it. And it says, I'll reverse it. That's a good word. And so Mark 11:22, let's look at Mark 11:22 and 23. And let's take a look at this scripture verse, familiar with us. And then we're going to look at Luke 17:6. But Mark 11:22 and 23, and of course, Jesus has cursed the fig tree the day before, and so they're coming back through here, this area, and they're let me just get over here and take a look at open this scripture up here. I don't want to look at it in my notes, but I want to look at it here. And so Peter's calling to remembrance, and he said, Master, behold the fig tree, which what? You cursed. So he heard it. He heard him curse that fig tree. And what did Jesus say? Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. And he went on to say, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, you know, that would have been a good time right there for Jesus to say, this is only something that certain group of people can do. Only you could do, or I could do. But he said, who here? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall do what? Believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So it's important that we do what? We believe the things that we say. Now let's take a look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 6. And actually Jesus said in verse 5, he said, the apostles said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. And this was his response. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might do what? Say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So we see here from the scripture that Jesus was saying that whosoever can really have whatsoever he saith. So faith moves mountains is really what we're talking about this evening, or we could say faith overcomes mountains. It overcomes a mountain. It moves mountains. It overcomes mountains. Why? Because we believe the things that we say. You might have an impossible mountain to move, a financial mountain, a health mountain, a family or a marriage mountain that looks impossible. Well, Jesus said here, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart that those things that he saith shall come to pass, believe what he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Well, we need to believe that first of all, we shared this on Sunday, every good and perfect gift that cometh down from heaven, cometh down from the Father of lights. So every good and perfect gift comes from him. What does it say in John 10:10? The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. I know in my own life there's been some situations that have been literally impossible to change. There's no way I could have changed it. But God spoke to me one time. There was one that was, it was not possible to change. And it looked like it was going to literally ruin me. And I remember sitting, looking, and saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I remember sitting in my office, and up out of my heart, I heard the scripture, Malachi 3:10. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can hardly contain, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I literally jumped up off of my seat in my office and shouted hallelujah. I did, because when you're faced with an impossible situation, whether it's finances, health, whatever it may be, and a revelation comes from the Word of God, you're going to shout. Because at that moment, even though none of the circumstances changed, I knew I had the answer. And it didn't change for about 6 months, 6-7 months, and had to go through and walk through a process. But at the end of it, I had the victory because I kept my thinking, my belief, and my words correct. I kept saying, when my mind said, this doesn't look like as well, I said, no, no, I heard the Holy Ghost. He said this. I believe this. And so just the same way, whether it's health, listen to the Holy Spirit. Follow his word. If he doesn't speak anything to you, take hold of a scripture, meditate in the scripture, and begin to speak it from your heart. Let's look at Mark chapter 5 and verses 25 through 34. This wonderful story of the woman with the issue of blood. And here, you know, Jesus has just gotten, you know, as they say, he went over into the country of the Gadarenes and delivered the man of Gadara. And then then those demons were cast into the pigs. They kicked him out of the country. And then, of course, Jesus coming back in, he passed back over onto the other side. And so here, this Jairus came, and said, you know, his daughter was nigh unto death. And so he said, okay, I'll go heal her. Well, on his way, what happened? What do we have in verse 25? It says, and a certain woman, which had what? An issue of blood. How many years? 12 years. That's a mountain. And what does it say? And suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but did what? Rather grew worse. So here, this looks like an impossible situation here. Physical ailment. She's spent all her money. She's getting worse. Doesn't look better. And so what happened? Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind him and did what? Touched his garment. For she said, here's the thing now. She didn't face her mountain. She heard something about Jesus, and what did she do? She began to pursue and seek after the solution. She went after Jesus. And she must have heard that people touched him and were healed. Because why, you know, that's what she did. She touched his clothes. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched me? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before her and told him all the truth. And what happened? And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And some of the other translations that you read, the Amplified, in Mark chapter 5 and verse 28, it says, for she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. She kept saying. You know, in the King James, it just said, for she said. But a more accurate rendering of this is, she kept saying as she went. She kept speaking to the issue and the problem. She kept saying, if I touch his garment, I'm going to receive my healing. And so the same thing, you may face some impossible situation in your life. And faith overcomes mountains, impossible things that cannot be changed. You know, there's some things we just can't change in the natural. It's not possible. But God said what? In Luke 18, he said, those things that are not possible, or he said, what is impossible, the New Living, what is impossible for people is possible with God. So I believe God. When there are things that are impossible, even in our personal life, in your business, whether you own a business, whether you work for a business, things that are impossible, you stand right up and you have to know God has raised me up to be either in this business, own this business. God's in this. And as far as I'm concerned, we are going to do this. We are going to own this. We are going to make this happen. And I'm going to see it through. And I'm going to decree it. It may take months. It could take a number of years to come and to see that come to fruition. But remember what we said. Those things that we speak, just like Caleb, the things that you speak by faith affect people that you don't even have are part of your life yet. It says it affected, what do we read in Numbers? Numbers, it said, let me read it. It said that, I'm in the wrong notes here. In Numbers, it said Caleb had a different spirit, and he said, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. So those things that God, you know, God shows us things that he may want you to have or pursue. He may show you in dreams and visions. He may show you something or, you know, show you something and you say, that's something God's called me to do. But just because he's shown it to you and called you to do it, you still have to do what? Possess it, just like Caleb. You've got to do what? Take it by faith. That means God has called me to this. I'm taking this and I'm doing this. I'm going to take the land. And this is what we have to do, that the devil is running rampant in our country. And we've got to begin to rise up and say, no, God is going to have righteous people in places of authority. Righteous laws are going to be enacted. Anybody in their right mind, if you just read the Bible, God is pro-life. So you have to be against abortion. God is pro-Israel. You have to be against people that come against Israel. You've got to stand for what God stands for. You've got to stand against sickness and disease. You've got to stand against what? Lack. Whether it's you personally or somebody else, you've got to begin to be a witness and share the word of God with people. It may not be affecting you personally, but you as what? A witness, a disciple of Christ, have got to be somebody that goes out and says, no, no, God doesn't want you to go through life lacking. God doesn't want you to go through life sick and diseased. God has paid for that so that we can enjoy life. And so be a witness. Feed upon the word of God. Let it get down in your heart and begin to let the words that you speak overcome mountains and also direct your path in life so that you do what? You eat the good of the land. What does it say? If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Let's unhook because we could share some more. But let that stir your hearts. And if you've, you know, been facing some mountains, be determined that you're overcoming that mountain, that mountain is being plucked up and cast into the sea. Glory to God. And that you are an overcomer in Christ. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you that you have strengthened us this evening. You've encouraged us through your word. And we thank you that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so, Father, we thank you that we are overcomers in Christ, and we thank you for the word of God, which is enlightening us and helping us in the directions that you've all assigned us to go in. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just before we unhook this evening and receive our evening offering, let's provide this opportunity. If you're here this evening and you're connecting with us, and maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, maybe you believe that he's the Christ, maybe you've heard that, but you've never personally professed that. Maybe you believe that Jesus was crucified. That's all well and good. The scriptures say the devils believe. And I'm not calling anybody a devil, but the point is that we can believe something, but it's believing in the heart and confessing with our mouth, Romans 10, 9, and 10, that we're saved. So let's make this simple profession of faith. Father, I believe that you are God. I believe that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, to this earth to reconcile mankind. I believe that he came and took my sins, and I believe he took them to hell. And the scripture says that when sin was paid for, he was released and raised from hell. And it also says that I was raised from hell. And so I believe that Jesus took my sins and paid for them. And now I accept him and receive him into my heart. I ask him to cleanse me with his blood. And I receive that now in Jesus' name. And I say that I am saved in Jesus' name. If you said that simple prayer and you received him in your heart and said that with your mouth, the scripture says that you've become a new person in Christ. You've become born again. You've become a changed person. Now, after that, what does it say? We need to renew our minds with the Word of God. And that's what we do here on these streams to help us renew our minds. Glory to God. So if you did that this evening, let us know. And there's some contact information there on the screen that you can let us know that you accepted Jesus as your Savior, and we'll send you some information.